In the world of geology, there has long been a debate between gradualism and catastrophism. And this podcast today is drawing parallels between that debate in geology and financial systems. So let me just set it up here briefly. So most of the establishment in money and finance and currency and history, they believe that currencies only shift slowly over time, gradualism. My argument is that actually what tends to happen is economic or currency catastrophism, and that that's what's coming. So let's back it up. Let's talk about geology and what this debate actually means. So for most of modern Western history, geologists have believed in gradualism, and they really arrived at this conclusion through just having a very limited short lifespan. You know, human beings don't live that long compared to the time of geology. Geological catastrophes may happen, you know, once every 500,000 years or a million years or millions of years. And so it's not obvious if you're just living 85 years that, hey, these mountains were formed all of a sudden because you never saw it in your lifetime. And erosion is easy to observe in your lifetime, and erosion is a process of gradual wearing away of rocks and stone and mountains and hills and soil and what have you. So erosion, yes, erosion is a gradual process, but the formation of mountains and sometimes the formation of rivers, the formation of islands, the formation or the shifting of continents is, in fact, these events happen radically, suddenly, and catastrophically. For example, the Hawaiian Islands. These are formed out of volcanoes. Volcanoes that happen to be taller, giant mountains in the ocean that happen to be taller than the depth of the ocean. So the tops of the mountains stick out, and those are the Hawaiian Islands. I think, is it the Big Island or one of the Hawaiian Islands is actually the tallest mountain in the world? It's just that most of it's underwater and it's a giant volcano. Now, volcanic events there are pretty catastrophic when they happen. You know, it's not like there's a little bit of lava seeping out every day over 100,000 years. It's like, no, all of a sudden it blows and then there's a giant, big, you know, new piece of land sticking out of the ocean. And if you look at mountain ranges, like, let's say, the Grand Tetons, or whatever mountain ranges you want to talk about, the Himalayas, it's clear that these mountains were thrust up out of the ground rather suddenly. You can't build a mountain slowly day by day. You build mountains by actually lurching a giant piece of a tectonic plate, lurching it, thrusting it upwards as two plates are being crammed together. And you can only imagine the earthquakes that would have been felt at the time that giant mountain ranges were thrust out of relatively flat land into, you know, kaboom, 12,000 feet high mountain ranges, or even higher in some cases around the world. So some mountains are formed by volcanoes, of course, like Mount St. Helens. Other mountains are formed by catastrophic sudden events of the earth being thrust upward as two tectonic plates are jammed together, and then they finally give way, unleashing all this kinetic energy and pushing, you know, trillions of tons of earth into the sky and forming a new mountain, in essence. I mean, some of these mountains are so tall that you would consider them the sky before they were there, and then they just, boom, they thrust up, and now they occupy what was the sky. I mean, some of these mountains are, what's the tallest mountain, like 29,000 feet, something like that, Mount Everest. Anyway, you get the idea. Gradualism does not explain geology. It explains part of it. It explains erosion. It does not explain the formation of mountains, and in some cases, rivers, and in some cases, how the continents shift around. And of course, there have been other, you know, catastrophic sudden events like asteroid impacts. That's not gradualism. That's like giant fireball engulfing the planet, or, you know, something similar to that. And that's why those have been extinction-level events. Now let's talk about money and finance. Again, my premise is that the Western financial system will collapse suddenly, not gradually. It will be catastrophic, and it will be a tipping point of a sudden collapse. Why do I believe that? Well, look at history. Look at the history of collapsed currencies. One thing that nearly every collapsed currency has in common is that the people had no time, no forewarning, no ability to get out of the currency before it collapsed. You see that throughout the history of the world, in Mexico, in Venezuela, in African nations, in European nations, and so on. People never had time to get out. Why? Because it was so sudden. If currency collapse was gradual, then there would be no history of people being wiped out by it, would there? Because they would have been able to shift out and get into something else. But in every single case that I've seen, currency collapse left the people high and dry because it was sudden. There was often a tipping point. Something broke. Faith in the currency broke. Often in history, wars broke out and caused the currency collapse. Or in many cases, the governments decided to just go hog wild with currency printing. And that was what broke the currency. You know, Zimbabwe, for example, or Weimar Germany. And some would argue, well, the German mark didn't collapse all of a sudden. It took time. Well, not that much time. It didn't take long. It collapsed so suddenly that most people were left, you know, losing most of their assets, their value, the people who held German marks. So yeah, in the timeline of history, it's pretty darn sudden. So today when I hear people talking about, oh, don't worry about the dollar is still going to be the world reserve currency all the way through 2050 and 2075. I'm just shaking my head. Like, what planet are you living on? The dollar is not going to be the world reserve currency even probably by the year 2027. Are you kidding me? Turkey is joining the BRICS nations now. They just announced Thailand is joining BRICS nations. You've got nearly 100 countries around the world now saying that they want to be part of the BRICS system. And almost all the countries on the planet, they know that the dollar system will be weaponized against them if they ever disagree with the U.S. empire on anything. So they don't want to use dollars. They are actively looking for a way out of dollars. The BRICS currency is the most obvious way out that nations are choosing. And that's why people like Andy Shechtman of Miles Franklin have been accurately warning about this global de-dollarization trend, and it's now accelerating. I remember 3 years ago when Andy Shechtman would talk about BRICS currencies, and people were like, what's BRICS? Is it spelled B-R-I-C-K-S? You know, nobody knew what BRICS was. Today, everybody knows what it is. I mean, among those paying attention, it's widespread knowledge. And then you have, you know, Saudi Arabia saying, we're in with BRICS now. And Turkey, we're in with BRICS. Numerous countries, of course, Brazil, of course, China and Russia. And economies that represent, I think the last statistic I saw was, 40 or 45% of the world's oil production, 35% of the world's population, and growing. I mean, especially if you start adding Turkey into that, you're going to see just a massive acceleration toward BRICS. Why? Because the dollar, number one, it's being printed into oblivion by the U.S. regime, which is destroying the value of the dollars that other people hold. But secondly, the dollar is being routinely weaponized. And it can be counterfeited by the U.S. So who would want to hold dollars? Who would want to use dollars? Using dollars is like hit yourself in the face with a hammer over and over again. Like, I love to use dollars. And like, scram, bam, psh, breaking your teeth out. Nose bleeding. I love dollars. Psh, you know, that's how insane it is to use dollars. That's why even Americans are trying to get out of dollars, get into gold, get into silver. Some people getting into Bitcoin and Bitcoin ETFs. People are trying to unload dollars like it's Ebola or something. Like, how fast can I get rid of dollars? And one of the important practical points in all of this, in my view, is that just like in history, when this present day dollar really goes into a parabolic collapse scenario, it'll be too late to get out. You won't be able to get out. Why? Because the banks will be closed. Bank holiday, we're on holiday. Bank accounts will be frozen, assets frozen. There'll be a government announced shutdown followed by a bailout and then a restructuring plan, and then they're going to reopen the banks in 1 week, and then when they reopen the banks, it's going to be a revaluation of the old currency to the new currency, and basically you're going to get royally screwed. That's probably how it's going to go down. You know, the banks are going to reopen and people open their bank accounts. It's like, oh good, we have the same numbers in the new currency, the same numbers. Yes, yay. Like if you had $25,000, you'll have 25,000 new Ameros or whatever they are. But then you'll find out that a hamburger costs like 200 Ameros. Like, wait a second. These don't seem to have the whole value still there. Yeah, that's how it works. That's the scam. It's a massive looting of the system. So yeah, you'll have your quote currency, or your money, it's not even really money, you'll have your currency, it just won't be worth much of anything. You know, a car will cost like a million Ameros, and a house will be, I don't know what the ratio should be, or a house will be like, you know, 500 million Ameros, and you're like, how, what? So that's why the only way to protect yourself from this catastrophic collapse that's coming is to get out of the dollar before the mass awareness occurs, or the big announcement occurs, or before the bank close downs take place. You know, this is what's necessary. And it's hard for people to do that because you have to, in essence, get out of the dollar during a time when it seems like you don't need to. When you're looking around like, hey, the banks aren't closed. The dollar hasn't collapsed yet. Why should I get out of the dollar? That's the time to insulate your assets, because that's the time when you can still move dollars around. That's when you can still get something out of your bank account, you see. And that's when the transactions are still functioning. So you could buy land, you know, you could close on a home, or you could invest in something, whatever you're investing in. You could move money around, and the system still works. That won't be the case once the tipping point has been reached. And there are numerous events shaping up right now that could destroy the dollar overnight. One of those being, for example, the United States being nuked. It could be a nuclear false flag, self-inflicted type of attack, or it could be Russian nukes striking Washington, D.C. and trying to take out the United States military. I mean, it could be a cyber attack on the financial infrastructure, either self-inflicted or maybe from somebody overseas, maybe North Korea, who knows? Could be a solar flare, just an act of God, an act of nature. Could be an EMP weapon attack, like an orbital EMP weapon that North Korea does have, by the way, dropped out of orbit into high altitude and then detonated to take out the entire power grid infrastructure of the United States. What do you think the dollar will be worth when there's no electricity functioning? When no bank can function, no grocer can function, no markets are functioning, you know, what's the value of the dollar? It's zero in that scenario. Everybody just has to hold on and hope that something comes back online, so you can log back in and see that your digital dollars are still there. Meanwhile, the people who have real things, gold, silver, ammo, land, a roof over their heads, whatever, firearms, diesel fuel, tractors, people who have real things are going to be doing just fine. And that's why people with wisdom, in my view, are transitioning from digital dollars into real physical things that are in their custody and under their control. Because those real physical things do not vanish in a massive, sudden, catastrophic banking collapse. You know, when the banks collapse, the gold that you have in your home safe or wherever you're hiding it, that gold doesn't vanish, obviously. It's still there. When the dollar melts down, your gold doesn't melt down. Now, if you have cash sitting around at home, which is a good idea to have some cash at home, your cash may become worthless. So do be prepared for that. But in the interim, it might have value. You might be able to take cash to a grocery store and buy some food with it, even if their electrical transaction systems are offline, all their computers are offline. Maybe they'll have, eventually, they'll have like a cash and carry type of situation. You know, we'll take cash for beans or whatever. So it is a good idea to have some cash. But at some point when the financial system really breaks, it won't be long before local communities and local merchants and so on start accepting gold and silver. Why? Because they'll have to. That's what works. That's what's there. That's what a lot of people have. And that holds value. And it doesn't depend on electronic systems. Now, crypto may be a really great choice for a lot of people in a lot of circumstances. It's very portable, for example. But also, crypto, of course, depends on the power grid functioning. It depends on the internet being functional. And in some scenarios, you can't count on that. So that's why it's good. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, have some diversity. So I want you to notice, if you're watching any kind of financial news that's mainstream, you know, CNBC or what have you, what they always say is that any kind of correction, it's going to be gradual. There's no risk of the dollar collapsing. There's no risk of treasury default. There's no risk. You know, buy more stocks, buy more treasuries, buy more bonds, because CNBC is a cheerleader for the Ponzi scheme. CNBC is never going to tell you the truth about what's happening. They didn't during the dot-com crash. They did not during the subprime mortgage collapse. There's an example of financial catastrophism right there. Both of those events, dot-com crash, subprime mortgage collapse, 2007, 2008. And you have to ask yourself, if you're wanting to confirm everything I'm saying here, ask yourself about that, subprime mortgage collapse. Did everybody get out? No. Was there plenty of warning? Nope. Was it gradual over time? Nope. It was all of a sudden. Boom. Pretty much in one day. You know, Bear Stearns, kaboom. Just Goldman Sachs, kaboom. Bank of America, almost gone. Watch the movie, The Big Short. It's one of my favorite films, by the way. Really great film. And you will see. You will see, because that movie is, in essence, just a dramatization of reality. And you saw that the collapse was all of a sudden. Today, the financial collapse scenarios will be even more accelerated because we have more rapid trading. So the response times are shorter and a lot of trading is automated. Did you see the other day when Berkshire Hathaway lost 99.97% of its value almost instantly on the New York Stock Exchange? I don't recall the exact amount, but I think it might have been $1.4 trillion or something. Gone, wiped out, zeroed out, in essence. New York Stock Exchange, what do? They halted trading. And then they said, oh, it was a glitch. Okay. And then they manually typed back in the price that it was supposed to be in their minds, and then they turned it back on and forced everybody to start trading at that price. So in other words, it could have been just a bunch of automated trading systems that were actually selling all those stocks, and somehow they got triggered into a cascade of selling. It might have been that the price really did go that low. I don't know for sure if that's the case. Maybe in this case it wasn't, but that could happen with other stocks on other days. What's the New York Stock Exchange going to do? Halt trading on every stock that's crashing? Yeah, probably they'll try that for a while. But they can't stop the international markets from selling off dollars or dollar debt, such as treasuries. That can happen overnight. Yeah, granted, the government will try to manipulate the market as aggressively as they can, but there's a limit to how much they can do. And at some point, it becomes obvious that they're desperate. And that only creates more distrust of the system or more panic to get out. And this is how a lot of these financial panics are self-reinforcing feedback loops of financial doom. And believe me, you and I will be the last to know that that's happening. Most of that panic is going to be happening behind closed doors before anything ever really gets out to the stock exchanges. So when the collapse comes, we're all going to be really hurt badly, myself included, because I have to have millions of dollars in cash. I don't mean green cash. I mean in bank cash in order to pay vendors. You know, at any given time, I might owe food vendors and natural, you know, raw materials vendors. I might owe easily over $1 million that's just in the process of being paid, you know, accounts payables. Just because of the volume of business that we do, I have to meet payroll. I have to, you know, pay utilities, all kinds of things. So I've got, in essence, you know, I've got millions of dollars of accounts payables to meet. And so I have to have a certain amount of cash for that. And I know that when the system collapses, I'm going to lose all that. Whatever I have in the banks is going to be gone. And I've already resigned myself to that fact. So I'm doing what a lot of you are doing. I'm vaulting gold or silver or, you know, crypto or doing other things that will help preserve assets so that I can reinvest those back into the business or the economy on the other side of this collapse. So that's my summary of this. Financial catastrophism is going to define our rapidly approaching future, not gradualism. In terms of sponsors here, if you want to get gold and silver for yourself, go to metalswithmike.com, metalswithmike.com. That's our gold and silver sponsor, the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. They offer very competitive pricing, guaranteed, insured, discreet delivery. They're easy to work with, and they don't run bait and switch tactics, by the way, either. They get you what you want at really great prices to help you stack gold and silver, and they also have vaulting services that are really high-end. I use their vaulting services. A lot of our customers use their vaulting services. It's strongly recommended that you check that out. In addition, if you want a different form of gold, which is highly divisible and very useful for local barter or trading in a post-collapse type of scenario, then check out verifiedgoldbacks.com, and you'll be looking at Goldbacks there. And Goldbacks, I've interviewed the founder, Jeremy Corden, several times. Goldbacks are really unique. They've got physical gold embedded in the polymer layers of the goldbacks. And we've done the lab test to confirm the amount of gold and the purity of gold. So check that out again at verifiedgoldbacks.com. And finally, if you want to stay informed about all of this with the best research newsletter in the industry and also an affiliate sponsor of our show, it's Gerald Celente. Go to trendsjournal.com. If you go to trendsjournal.com and you subscribe there, use discount code RANGER, and you will save 10%, and you'll get access for just a couple bucks a week to the best financial newsletter that's out there. We earn a little bit off of that as an affiliate. Mostly you're supporting the Gerald Celente operation and his outstanding work to help people keep their assets safe. Seriously, this is one of the best things that you can do right now for a couple bucks a week. It's crazy how little that costs. But thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com and brighteon.com. Be safe. Take care. Back in stock at the Health Ranger store, we now have the Elderberry Echinacea Tincture Combo, which is outstanding for the immune system. That's in the middle there. Back in stock. We've also got quercetin available, which is a very popular item as everybody's learning about the supportive benefits of quercetin. We have broccoli sprout powder in capsules now back in stock. We also have a little bit of the actual powder as it's shown there in that canister. All these available at healthrangerstore.com. Go to the website, find out what we have there. We've got a lot of new products, a lot of products back in stock. And then also we have the pea protein back in stock. Now for those who like plant-based proteins, pea protein, it's very smooth. The texture here is very smooth. It's also one of the cleanest, well, I think the cleanest plant-based protein you can get in terms of lab test results. Whereas rice protein sometimes, depending on the source, can have, you know, arsenic in it. We've seen that in rice protein, some lead, some cadmium. But pea protein is very, very clean. Some people prefer a whey protein taste, but if you're used to doing vegan proteins, then pea protein is more in your like wheelhouse of what it's supposed to taste like. And that's a really great, clean, smooth product right there. That's back in stock at our store. But check out our hundreds of other products at healthrangerstore.com. And remember that every purchase helps us with our big lawsuit that we filed. We're suing Google, Meta, we're suing Twitter or X, we're suing the Department of Defense. We're also suing Homeland Security, NewsGuard, and various NGOs for censorship collusion. In our lawsuit, we're exposing the censorship industrial complex, and we're working to dismantle it, to compel the court to actually dismantle this censorship complex so that the free speech rights of the American people can be restored, as is supposed to be guaranteed by the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights under the United States Constitution. But we have to fight for it, and we need your support in order to carry out and fund that fight. So shop at healthrangerstore.com and help us take this fight to the censors to dismantle the censorship industrial complex while at the same time enhancing your health and nutrition with laboratory-tested, certified, organic, ultra-clean products that we offer. Again, healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support.